guys, and welcome to the Good Girls After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We've got a couple of good girls on the panel that are going to explain exactly what that means, as well as what crimes are coming up, armed robbery, and theft. So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well.
So when I said good girls, did I mean bad girls? Maybe so. So hey
guys,
the
best kind of bad.
The best kind of bad. We are gonna break all that down. Hey guys, I'm Kelsey Hightower, and to my left, Juliet.
Hi guys, Juliet here. So excited to talk about this show. Two episodes in.
Yes. Okay. So we're a couple of good girls, real good girls. We'll talk about that coming up. But we have three episodes to break down. Episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Good Girls. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's jump right in. I want to start off, first of all, talking about the characters, though, because we have a great cast of female characters, a female creator for this show as well. So just want to briefly kind of talk about that. Then we're going to jump into episodes 1, 2, and then really talk about episode 3, where the girls might want to stay with the crime. And then we're going to go on to predictions. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the live feed, you can definitely chat with us now. Upload, like us on iTunes, and we'll get started. So we have a cast with Christina Hendricks, Mae Whitman, and Retta. These girls, they played in Mad Men. Mae Whitman has been on Parenthood, which is also one of my favorite shows. And she was on like Room 104. I mean, she's been in a ton of stuff. Retta was on Parks and Rec. I mean, she was hilarious on that show.
So funny.
So we have a whole slew of talent here.
I mean, such a strong cast. And you even, like, within the first episode, you see that they have really strong chemistry, which is so important, you know, for this show to keep going. It's centered around these three women. Really, really neat to see them on camera like that.
I know. That's awesome. And I just want to throw in that Jenna Bans created this show, and she was the producer and writer of Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. So just female power everywhere, and it feels super awesome to be talking about that and to see a comedy that's focused on females, because it's kind of rare to see a show, a comedy, that's just a whole cast of females. I mean, right. It's coming up a little bit now currently, mm-hmm. but it's far and few between.
Right. I mean, the only thing I can think of as a comparison is Charlie's Angels, that TV show. But that was very much centered on, obviously, them being, you know, strong and all that, but there's a lot of sexiness put out there.
Right.
These women are beautiful and, yes, very sexy in their own way, but that's not really something that's at the core of the show, which I really appreciate.
That's true. They're all women, like moms. You know, you see right. like kind of that hard struggle mom life, and right. I think we see more of a struggle between all these women and, mm-hmm. like, especially in finance, you know, like a single mom.
Right.
Ruby, her daughter, you know, is going through all of the treatments, health mm-hmm. treatments, so they don't have any money, so you're not seeing, like, sexy women, like, hot women out there.
Yeah, I mean, they're beautiful, yes. and you do see that on screen, but that's not, again, like, it's not the core. These are, like, get-shit-done women.
Yeah, and I love that. So, episode 1, the pilot. We start off seeing this money struggle that we're talking about.
Right.
Beth is... She and her husband are having a little bit of some financial issues. We find out in this episode that they're probably about to lose the house because he hasn't been paying any mm-hmm. of the mortgage payments. And he's having an affair. You know, big thing right there. So
yeah, he's hitting all marks on that. That was such a chilling scene when she finally confronts him. Mm-hmm. It's funny. What about you? I don't know if you, in the first scene, the show starts off with her living this hectic life. Yeah. And even their interactions, they look at each other. He says, "I love you." And she's like, "All right, bye." You could tell something's up. So I wasn't shocked at all. Were you shocked about that affair?
No, I really wasn't shocked that that was all happening, because they have 4 kids. They just kind of seem like they were living their separate lives by that right. point. Like, he goes to work, like, all that stuff. But yeah, you could kind of tell something was up. I agree with you
right,
on
right
that,
off the bat. You can tell these characters are really detached.
Yeah.
But what did surprise me is the whole money thing, because it's like, wow, you're throwing those two things in.
Yeah.
And, you know, being cheated on is already a huge thing after 20 years of marriage, 4 kids later. On top of it, he's maybe going to lose the house. And she has to ask him again. He's like, maybe, I don't know. Okay, maybe, yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
Right? Yeah, that's like...
How low can you go?
That's rock bottom. So, yeah, that's a tough one for Beth. And then her and Annie, which is her sister, played by Mae Whitman, they find on the credit card that, like, there's been this huge charge. They go up to the store, and they have some trouble, like, figuring out, like, getting an answer from the clerk, being like, can I see this, what this charge was? Right. And it was kind of a funny scene, I think, whenever she was like, you can't remember what you bought? And they were like, no, it was for my friend, and she, you know, had to be cut out because she got in a car wreck, and she's in a coma, you know, that sort of thing.
It's a dynamic that we've seen a lot in that episode, and then again throughout the episodes to come, where they just kind of go off script, and they're kind of just like an improv class, you know what I mean? They're just lying and just keeping going, and I think the clerk knew that they were lying, but she was so sticking to it that they're like, you know, I just don't want to deal with you. So I'll give you the answers you're looking for.
Kind of when you go on about a lie, like you get so deep in that you kind of wear the other person down sometimes, you know?
Totally. Like,
I think that's the trick there. And Beth, I've seen throughout the first, second, and third episode, is really the talker, maybe like the leader as far as like talking her way out of things, really being able to think quickly on her feet. So you can kind of see kind of her role in the trio there. So I really thought Annie, moving on to her storyline, she is a single mom and she has Sadie and she is really struggling to like keep her life together.
Right.
You can really, I feel like I can relate to this, you know, like you're just like, okay, I'm working my part-time job, my full-time job. Like then all of that goes to rent, you know, your kid, like whatever. I mean, I don't have a kid, but you know, it goes away, you know, it disappears either way. So yeah, we saw her life. And then Ruby, her daughter, needs a kidney transplant or this medication. So, none of them have money, and that's what really starts off this episode. You see that big problem that's going to carry over through the next three episodes. So it leads them to rob the grocery store that Annie works at. Mm-hmm. So this big robbery scene, the girls go in, and this episode was cool because it flashes back and forth to like present where they're robbing and then flashing back to like money problems and like the wax scene and all that stuff.
And I think also the discussion of it all, how this all came about, because it's true that when you're introduced to these characters, like you're saying, they're going through a hectic time, but they also look like regular people. Yeah. You don't expect them to pull out a gun and rob a grocery store.
No.
So I thought that was a really cool way that they edited that and went back and forth between a conversation that at first was a joke and then became really real, real quick.
Very quick, yes. And so in that robbery scene, the girls get away. They go in there wanting $30,000 because that's a minor crime and they wouldn't get flagged. And people rob different stores around this small town all the time. So they're like, no big deal. Let's give it a shot. We really need this money. And they go in, and even you can tell that they're relatable, real people, because Beth is talking to like a mom and her young daughter and like trying to make conversation while they're like, Annie's getting the money in the back. So she's like trying to talk about like this cartoon. Oh, do you watch this show?
Right.
You
she's know? Like with a little kid voice, and she's holding the gun and she has the
mask on.
So it's just like, it was a really funny dynamic.
Like, I know. You're like, you have a mask on, you're robbing. And like this poor daughter, you know, she's going to be scarred for life.
Yeah, for sure.
So we see that. And then the big takeaway that we see from the robbery scene, I think, is when Annie is getting the money in the bags and the manager, Boomer, sees her tattoo, her back tattoo. So we already see that connection that Boomer, her manager, knows it's her because he's seen that before.
Right.
So they might get caught. We didn't really know where that was going, or I didn't really know where that was going at first.
What we did know, it was not good.
It was not good. Whatever was going to happen.
Not a good thing.
Not good. So they get home. They thought they were going to get $30,000. They end up getting $500,000.
Right.
I mean, what would you do with $500,000?
That was such a funny scene, and it was stressful and funny, and I think this show's doing a good job at that, where it's a, you know, an action drama and a comedy. because she was trying to, one of the characters are trying to convince them to be more, like, to be happy. Like, we just won $500,000.
Like,
we
you're on a TV show and you won a prize.
Yes, she was trying to be put positive spin on it. And they're like, we didn't win it. We didn't win it. And it's true that with that kind of money, the stakes are so much higher and they're facing crazy consequences.
I know.
You know, definitely armed robbery with $30,000 is not a good thing, but yet not as bad as $500,000. Come on.
I know. I mean, that would be so much fun to have. But then, I mean, you couldn't sleep. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. That I would be like stressed out, you know, sleep with one eye open all the time. I mean, what would you do with that kind of money?
That's actually a great point. I don't even know how these characters have been sleeping the last three episodes.
Right. Like, how do you even sleep? So
they make it happen somehow.
They make it happen. They're moms, you know. They're
get-shit-done women. I know. That's what we're seeing in this show. So I think it's really, really cool to see that on screen.
Yeah. So I like that. So they have all this money. And you can see starting to see their personalities in this. Annie, she goes out and buys a Porsche, all Mac products, you know. She's got a new laptop, new phone, all this stuff. And Ruby's like, let's sit on the money, you know, at first. Like, let's sit on the money. And then she uses it for that pill that her daughter needs.
Yeah.
And you're just – it's one of those shows where they do something bad and then you just love them because it's, like, for a good cause. You know, robbing Peter – to pay Paul. That's the saving, right? Yeah, right. Like Robin Hood. There you go.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that was really neat. But to be honest with you, I feel like some of the purchases weren't really uncalled for. The car is just because she's feeling insecure about her whole custody battle.
Yeah.
So things like that. I think she definitely should invest in helping her daughter and, you know, getting a lawyer. But the car was much. So I was glad at the end of the episode that she got rid of it.
Yeah.
What I thought
that's a big red flag if someone's going to see you driving a Porsche. Like,
out of nowhere on minimum wage.
Yeah.
Like, not too smart on that end. That's how you get caught.
That's how you get caught.
Always. You know, like any kind of criminal when they're going on vacation or big spending, you're like, what's up? That doesn't add up.
Yeah.
What I thought was really, really a cool scene is when Beth goes to see his husband's lover and the way that was
pays her off and sends her to LA.
She's like, you're just dumb. You're just pretty and dumb. That's okay. Not your fault. That's just how you're born. That's just how it is. Yeah. And then hands her a wad of cash. Tells her to quit her job and go dream back big in LA.
She's like, just get out of here and wait. Yeah, I thought that was really cool too. It was a good way to handle that situation because a lot of times, you know, you're like mad at her, get her out of there, or you divorce or
get
whatever.
Physical or
whatever. Yeah, something like that. And she was just like, get out of the picture. Here's some money. Go away. Disappear.
Yeah, exactly. It was really classy in a way because it was funny and she was insulting her, but it wasn't I don't know. I think it's nice. It's never good to put a woman down, but it's kind of nice that she was putting her down for just not being a smart woman versus her sexual choices, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't call her, you know, like, a hoe or anything, right? Which she should be entitled to. She's sleeping with a married man. Again, I think that was just kind of like a good wink to what this whole show stands for.
Yeah.
Just women empowerment.
It's done in a tasteful way, I think. So handling all these really bad situations very tastefully. So
and she was really nice. She warned her, be careful. They're going to want you to do porn.
That's true. You never know. Advice. It was very nice.
Good forewarning.
You know, we'll see. Maybe that'll be a prediction. You know, we get a subplot of her LA life, maybe doing porn.
Because heading into episode 2 and 3, she's still there. She hasn't quit her job.
Yes, so. Which I was very surprised about in the next two episodes because I thought she was supposed to leave.
Yeah, she has a lot of money. Around. She's still there, which is weird because I feel like she played actually a really good role in the following episodes. It was like kind of this character that's growing on me. So I don't know. We'll see what's to come.
I know. We will. Okay. So we've gotten to they have all this money and they don't know what to do. Then the biggest problem that we've seen in the first episode is the gang. There's a gang that comes over to Beth's house and is saying that it's their money. That the girl stole from them, and they need their money back.
With interest.
So, yes. So they have already spent like $57,000, and they make minimum wage, and they already can't afford anything. So they're in this predicament as to where do they get this money from. That was kind of the biggest plot point, I think, in this episode. How do you get that money back? So
That's what got them in there in the first place. So it's exactly. Like if they had the solution and get $50K overnight, they wouldn't be in this predicament.
Yeah, they wouldn't have robbed the grocery store. So it was kind of interesting to see this gang come out of nowhere because I wasn't expecting that to happen, I don't think, to get involved in the drug lords, the cartel, right. Or whoever it is. So I thought that was an interesting little insert there.
I thought so too. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I get where this show is going, because for a majority of this first pilot episode, I was like, okay, this is really cool, but how is this going to develop into a series? Because it looks like, okay, they're pointing out and then they're unraveling this whole storyline with the armed robbery, and it seemed like it was going to conclude. So I thought it was a great kind of twist, and they're really developing characters and storylines and arcs and stuff. So
yes,
I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Our last bit of this pilot, we saw Boomer. Mm-hmm. We really got to see that character, which was the manager of the grocery store that they robbed, also Annie's boss. And he not only knows the girls did it, mm-hmm. so he's involved in the crime, but he is using that to blackmail Annie and trying to sleep with her. He tried to do that a couple of times throughout this episode. The second time he came over and he was super wasted. And thankfully, Annie was in the bathroom. And so she could come out and rescue mm-hmm. What was happening, because he was, trying to rape her pretty much. And then when Annie comes out, she hits him with a bottle, and then he comes back and tries to attack her, and he falls into the table, and we end the whole episode not knowing if he's dead or alive.
Right.
So that was a good ending, I thought. I mean, it was an intense ending. I mean, it puts you're a little bit at uneasy when it's about this rape scene and this he's coming on to, it's somebody that you know. So it's very intense, mm-hmm. very raw and real too.
Yeah, that was a very intense scene. Again, we have moments that are funny in this show, but that wasn't pleasing to watch.
I know. What was your kind of take after this first pilot that you watched?
I was like, wow, so many emotions. I think, yeah, a lot of emotions. We go from funny to action to drama to sad to stress to all these things. So, which sometimes can be tricky in, any kind of movie or TV show, because it's good to have diversity, but if you don't know what you are, sometimes it's too much, right? And I had moments, certain scenes, I was like, oh, they're throwing too much in the mix. But overall, I feel like they ended it well.
Yeah.
So so far, I'm really pleased, and I feel like they're doing a good job.
Yeah, I felt like it was more of a drama the first episode than a comedy, because going into it, I really thought that it was going to be a comedy.
That's kind of how it's been promoted as. I mean, even in LA, we see billboards for this all over, and mm-hmm. The short spots they have on TV and stuff like that. That's what I was expecting. I was actually expecting a 30-minute comedy, and it's actually a 40-minute drama.
Yeah, yeah. At least that first, I think the first couple episodes for me, it was more dramatic. I thought. And there's sprinkled comedy in there.
Yeah, exactly. There's jokes and there's sprinkled comedy relief. But it's a satire in many ways too, and it's definitely at its core a drama. So. Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so we're going to move on to episode 2. This opens up with Boomer being tied up in Beth's treehouse. Mm-hmm. So he does live.
Right.
I kind of anticipated that he was going to live.
Well, what I thought was interesting is that they didn't really actually come back on that episode. There's a good maybe 3, maybe 5 minutes of a couple different scenes of them going about their day, going to the grocery store, doing this and that, being with the kids, turning the TV on or struggling with the TV.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, so when are they going to explain? I didn't know. I'm like, did they hide the body somewhere? Did they call the cops? What's going on?
Uh-huh.
So I was actually pleasantly surprised. Oh, they just put him in a treehouse. Okay.
Okay, he's there. He's alive.
He's just, struggling.
He's just, really bloody and gross and, barely alive.
But they're feeding him.
They're feeding him. So. They're kind. They're thoughtful. They think of these things. Beth thinks of it all. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. And then they kind of go through this episode what are we going to do with Boomer? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to get the money back? And it's a countdown until the gang members come back and either kill them because mm-hmm. they don't have their money, or they have the money. So that's kind of the whole episode. But Ruby comes up with the plan to get a ransom for Boomer because Boomer has a really rich grandma. And that kind of is going to be like the key, the ticket for them to get out. So I thought this was a very funny scene where they were trying to call Marion, I believe.
Again and again. She's not picking up the damn phone.
I know. And they even have a downloaded app to like cover up their voices.
Right.
So they won't, they think of it all. And so, yeah, they can't get a hold of her. And so they have to go down to the nursing home and they're watching a YouTube video trying to like pick a lock into this like grandma's home. So I laughed a bit on this part. I was like, this episode, it's getting funnier, you know, a little less stress, but there's still some in there.
Yeah, that was really funny because it's just like they're regular people, you know, like looking at a YouTube video to break into this old lady's home. Like that was just such good comedy. It was really funny. And they're finally, yeah, they're able to come in because the grandmother's actually there. And again, Beth's so good with those lies. Like she is an improv class. I'm telling you, her life is just improv. And actually, Ruby even points it out. She goes, it's scary how good you do that.
I know. I want her on my team all the time. Like, I want her to be my wingman, like, in life. Because she just has the words for everything.
Yes,
every situation. I love it.
She's, like, so calm and collected. And she's like, this is what we got to do. This is what we're going to do. This is okay. We're doing it. All right, go.
Yeah. And this is a lie that is the truth. So, and exactly. Everybody believes it. And you're like, yeah, I believe it too.
That lie was actually it was really funny. But it was also kind of sad because people take advantage of old people all the time.
I thought about that
too. She was like, we're knocking at the door. You're Medicare now. How's people coming in helping? Like, it's so sad the number of people who seek out old people, call them out, and try to take money off of them. But that's neither here or there.
I know.
It was funny. It was funny, but sad.
It was funny. I thought the exact same thing, especially like people calling, like, and taking advantage online, taking identity theft, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing. Yeah. So,
but at the end of the day, you know what? Annie's just sitting on the couch eating potatoes and like they're chilling, like they're having a good time. She's just, it was a good little evening for this Marianne, right?
It was. She got to chat it up and hang out with some girls.
So yeah, that
was
be good. A little racist, but
you know, that's an old grandma for you, I guess. I don't know. But at the end of the day, like you said, hung out with some girls. Beth didn't take the money. She had the opportunity to take this whole bag of cash. Mm-hmm. Didn't do it. So the girls are still without money. And then everyone is like, you know, let's face it. We're going to die. They all make peace with their family. It was kind of funny to see how everybody kind of made peace with their families. Some was very serious. And like Ruby made a whole refrigerator full of lasagnas. So it was kind of sweet and touching moment. Then the big day comes and they have to meet with the guys and they find out that Annie has stolen a whole collection of these little trinkets from the grandma's house and they're like getting $8,000 off of them on eBay. So they could actually make the money back, but it was like the day of and here comes the gangsters and they present like a folder with like passcodes and everything to like, here's how you can sell your product. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're not going to do that. But I thought it was interesting. I was like, why, if they had already sold it, why didn't they already like ship it and get them, you know, like, why weren't they like, your money is like coming, like, here's $8,000.
Right. It's you know? Bidding right now. Look, the prices are going up.
Yeah. I don't know. It was funny, but I was also like, but there's your money. There's the answer right there. So that was interesting. I wasn't sure if, it's not like completely fact-based or anything, but I was like, that's kind of loosely like
that was could funny, yeah, though.
Be solved.
But right he there. Breaks one.
He breaks one.
There you go. $8,000.
Poof. Out the window. That would break my heart. I was like, oh my goodness. And then we end with, so what happens is they smash the dolls and the girls are going to have to do a favor for the guys now that they don't have the money. So they're like indebted to these guys. Mm-hmm. Beth finds one of them outside of her house sitting on the bench talking to her son and he asks if they have passports and that's how the second episode ends there. So we know that they were going to go someplace. I thought it was going to be Costa Rica because they were talking a lot about Costa Rica in the second episode on if they were going to just take the money and run.
Right.
But, yeah, I might have done it. I might have taken the money and run. gone somewhere. Been like,
yeah, I know. But with the kids and all.
Oh, like, you have kids. You know, you can't.
And the fact that the guy shows up and talks to the kid, you know, that's the biggest threat of them all.
That's true.
The children involved, no, no bueno.
No bueno. Okay, so second episode, thoughts? Anything that you had...
I have to say, out of the three, the second one didn't really do it for me as much.
Okay.
I really liked the first, the pilot, and then I was like, oh, okay, I don't know about this. It kind of slowed down for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third episode, I was like, okay, the next year I really do like this show.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a show worth binging. Maybe just yet. For me, yeah. At least, I'm like, after... I was kind of done. I think it's really fun, like, to tune in, you know, once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe watch two, but at least I watched the three back to back.
Oh, and you did?
Yeah, and I was okay. Like, it's a little much. There's a lot of shows I loved. I'm a big binger, so that's same. Kind of what I go for. Not to say it's not a good show. It's a really good show, but I think it deserves a breather, at least for now.
Yeah, I think that's good. I was going to say that I think it would be good watching three of them because I watched them like one at a time, but I can see where they might need a breather because I don't know. I feel like these three lump together really well as far as like the pilot,
mm-hmm.
then you kind of have like a little bit of drama, and I feel like three is where it's really picking up and going forward. So I'm excited.
Because I think two piggybacked too much onto one.
Yeah.
And was just trying to solve all that came out under number one and wasn't really introducing anything new versus three. We really have new elements coming out and you're like, oh, okay, now I see this show going out through a whole season.
Exactly. You can kind of see where the show is and where it's going. So before we get into the latest episode three, I think we should take a quick little break,
mm-hmm.
And talk about something else that's happening here at AfterBuzz TV. So we have a new podcast that is launching. It's Conversations with Maria Menounos,
right.
Who is our founder here at AfterBuzz TV. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know anything about her, then you're living under a rock, and she's like the sweetest person ever. So, so definitely tune in to her new podcast. It's hosted by our TV founder, Marina Menounos, as I just said, and it comes out every Friday on iTunes. And this is going to feature celebrities and influencer interviews with secrets and tips on to be better in all aspects of life,
mm-hmm.
From health to wellness to career tips to all sorts of things, finances, and more. So she has such a wealth of information that she's going to be talking about. So mm-hmm. if you're interested in, you know, living a better, well life, then I would suggest tuning into this podcast.
Which you should.
Yes.
Right? Everyone should better their lives. It's
I know.
It's a podcast that just is kind of like a boost of energy. I like to listen to it in the morning. It's the best of her SiriusXM shows,
mm-hmm.
which is during the week. And that's in the morning. And so it's, you know, kind of good to listen to that and like
get your day started on the right foot.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like it. Okay. So you can listen to that on Fridays on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Marina Menounos.
Maria Menounos.
Menounos, as I'm saying it correctly. It's a long night. It's fine. Okay. So let's jump back into Good Girls. We are now talking about the latest episode that's out. It's episode three. It opens with the girls in the kitchen and Beth is telling them exactly what the plan is,
mm-hmm.
which they don't know, is really what it is. So
they're going to pick up something mysterious. We don't know what it is, but it's best not to ask questions.
I agree with that philosophy, and I'm glad that they didn't know because, I mean, if you get caught with something, you can legit say you don't know, but it's not really going to help you if you're, like, caught with drugs or, mm-hmm. you know, anything like that. But I would rather not know what I was doing, maybe if I was forced into a crime life.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up going to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Canada.
Oh, Canada. And as so they have to get a car. And thankfully Beth's husband works at a car dealership. So they go to the car dealership and, have their pick of a car. Now, the interesting thing during this scene was that Boomer saw them at the dealership because they set off like every single car alarm mm-hmm. in the lot. So I think the Boomer is going to have a significant role going on
for
in
sure.
this show.
He knows so much. And I think that he's at a point where he can't really win, right? He can't expose them. So he might join them.
Ah.
Can't beat them, join them.
Can't beat them, join them. Keep your enemies close, your friends close, and your enemies closer, too. Mm-hmm. So they head off to Canada, and they go to the location. It turns out to be a craft store. Mm-hmm. And as Annie says, you know, what's worse, drug smuggling or scrapbooking, you know? I don't know. Were you a big scrapbooker?
No.
There you go. So
I'm a big drug smuggler.
Okay. You know, you're one or the other. You can't be both. So they go around to the back, and they're having trouble getting this package from Mike, and each girl has a swing at it. Beth goes up first, and her smooth talking does not do the trick this time. Mm-hmm. She just believes him and goes into the car. Annie goes up next. Annie doesn't have any trouble, she has trouble relating to him, and it takes Ruby to go and shoot this guy's foot on accident mm-hmm. before they get attention. His attention. So
what a funny scene. What a funny scene, because it really, like, she steps out of the car, has the gun, and they're like, oh my gosh, and they're really, you know, kind of shocked that she has the gun and that she's pulling the gun out, which always, like, kind of reminds us, like, these girls are not criminals. They're just moms trying to figure shit out.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? I'm handling this. And she walks out like a gangster. And she shoots him in the foot. And it's just like, oh, my God. Like, there's a second you're all thinking, even the characters in the car are like, wait, did she do that on purpose? And the fact that she didn't is so, so, so funny.
Yeah.
She accidentally shot someone in the foot.
I know. And then because she was talking about it afterwards, she was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't mean to do that. You know, immediately after that.
Right. And throughout the episode, she keeps on being like, I just shot someone. I just shot someone, which, like, is their foot, which obviously is very painful and not good, but it's not, like, murder, but still, she's just so scarred by it.
I mean, have you ever stubbed your toe? That is, like, the most painful thing ever. I can't imagine being shot in the foot. So, you know, that is the last string, and they get the package, thanks to Ruby, head back, make it through border security, which they didn't know what was in the package, so they were very nervous. They thought it was drugs, you know. Mm-hmm. They were sniffing around, didn't get caught with it, so that was good. They get back, and even, like, they had even opened the packages and looked in. And I didn't know that you do that whenever you cross the border, where you show them your receipts, and then you mm-hmm. have to, like, check all of your everything that you bought.
Every border is different. I think what played a major role is that they were in and out.
True.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like a longer stay. So they know when you're going in and out. So it's like, why were you in Canada just for a few hours, right?
That's true.
So, and people in, they live in Michigan, people up north do that a lot because Canada's also cheaper for a lot of stuff. So, and I think they have to control it because you're only allowed to go a certain amount. Like, there's just a lot of things like that. So that's why they check those boxes. I thought it was interesting that they had all the receipts, and I was like, oh, so you knew about this? I wonder. I thought it was just a nice little touch. Like, did they actually have to go to the store or all this stuff?
Or it just the package came with the receipt, like they had thought through it.
Right, exactly.
They're
pros.
The gangsters are pros.
Right.
Okay, so they make it through the border. They deliver the package. When they get up, they open it, and they're like, it's wrapping paper, and then the money's on the back. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is so smart. Like, mm-hmm. it's a very smart thought. So they go to the gangsters and deliver it. I just keep calling – his name's like Rio or something, mm-hmm. but I just keep calling them the gangsters because I think that's fun.
Gangsters,
and they deliver the package.
His name is Rio.
There we go.
Played by Manny Montana.
There you go. Manny Montana. And they are done. That completes that, and they are out of the business for good. So they don't owe anything else to him, and they can move on with their lives. Mm-hmm. And I think that scares Beth, because she's like, my life is not together, and it's not what,
right. She doesn't, I think that for a long time, she was in the back seat, right? She didn't know anything that was going on. Financially, and she even sits her husband down. She's like, we're done with this dynamic of you bringing home the baking, me not asking questions. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of had a taste of power in a way, and she's not ready to give that up.
Yeah.
And she's being respected with all these crimes that she's doing. She gets to yell at people, and she gets to have her own little hobby. So I think it's going to be really hard for her to give that up.
I think so, and because she's really good at it. She's very powerful.
She's the one best one, the best one at it, which is so funny.
I know.
When they first introduced the idea, she was the one that was least on board. So I thought that was a really fun, you know, a character development.
I like that too. Yes, and even her husband is trying to get back together at the end of the episode.
I feel like throughout a lot, which I just like, I don't know, did you do this? I was looking at my screen and I was like, what's wrong with you? I get that's your wife, but how dumb are you that you still have hope for this? I really hope she doesn't get back with him, because I'm sorry, the fact that you can't cheat and make someone go bankrupt. You gotta choose, man. You can't, already one so hard to overcome, and yeah. like that tarnishes a relationship, and not a lot of people can get over that.
Yeah.
But both at the same time, it's like he doesn't bring anything to her life. Mm-hmm. And there's even that scene where they're looking at the pictures and they're like, oh, you used to be skinny. We used to be happy. Yeah, that's used to. I'm so glad she walked away. And I'm pleased, you know, good girls writers, please don't make them get back to each other with each other.
Yeah. And I think we can talk about this in a second with predictions. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll take a pause. We'll put a pin in that mm-hmm. and we'll come back to that. Cause I have something else I want to predict.
Ooh,
I think.
Very interesting. Yes. A little teaser there for you.
A little teaser. So we're coming both with predictions here in a moment. Annie has this big conversation with the child services to see if she's going to be able to be a fit mother. Mm-hmm. And that does not go well because she's late and because they were trying to get rid of the car. The car sank, which I thought that was one of the funniest scenes when the car's Bluetooth was on and it was syncing and she was still on the phone. I just died. But anyway, she was late to her thing. Did not have a good interview, and Sadie had like cut her finger and they had to go to the hospital and all that stuff. So that didn't end on a very good positive note for Annie at the very end of that episode. And then Ruby is down to the last cancer pill or the last pill, whatever, for her kidneys, for her daughter's kidneys. So that's kind of like the last bit we see from her. And then one other storyline that might continue is that when Ruby and her husband went to church, Sadie took credit, this other woman took credit for paying $10,000 anonymously to their child.
Which was such a crazy, crazy scene. So funny, so riveting. Like, what's...
Yeah.
Sit your ass down. What is she doing?
And she is a hair salon person.
I love how she pointed that out. She goes, are you still stylist. Working at that salon? She's like, I've been saving here and there.
You're like saving $10,000 at a hair salon. Anyways, I did like how Ruby came back and handled that situation.
So strong, so smart.
Very gracefully, too. I mean, she just threw that in. She was like, yes, and thank you for, you know, donating your time to, you know, babysit and to pick my kids up and things like that. I was like, yeah, that is a great way to handle that.
Exactly. Such a smart way. You know, she's using you trying to get with your husband yeah. and like getting all the sympathy, so you use her right back.
Exactly. I loved that.
Who can play this game?
That's right. That's where we keep our friends close and our enemies. Closer. I feel like right. that's where that came in. And then it ended with Beth going over to Rio's warehouse and trying to find him. Mm-hmm. And it's completely gone, like wiped out. And so she leaves her pearls, which I think it's so classy that she's the perfect character to like wear the perfect pearls and like mm-hmm. portray that perfect life. And then he comes back. He finds her because he can always find all of them. And we leave the question with, what did you want to talk to me about? So they're going to answer that question in the next episode, hopefully. Yeah. But
it was a crazy scene. It like fades to black and I was like, oh, okay, good girls. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Episode 3 was really strong to me because that episode really pulled me in. One was like, okay, we're trying to figure out what this whole storyline, what is this show? Two, I was just kind of like, oh, I don't know how I'm feeling about this. And then three, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm tuning in next week for sure.
Yes, I agree. I think it was a very strong episode. And it's kind of developed, like, found its spot. Because I feel like pilots, it's always really hard because actors are getting used to, like, working together and getting the dynamic. And right. then I feel like through this third episode is really the
right.
best
And you're
one.
Trying to sell so much, right? You're trying to give out so much information yeah. in an entertaining way. You want it to feel like you're already in the episode, that you've been watching this for years and that you've known these characters for years yeah. and they are so intertwined. So it's really, really tough to do with 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. So let's talk about the preview and then we'll get into predictions. Okay. How's that?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So our preview that we saw, Beth volunteered to do a job, so we know that they're going to do another job coming up in the next episode. And then we see this quick little clip of Boomer going to the cops and wanting to be Secret Service. Mm-hmm. So those are our two little hints mm-hmm. as to what's coming up. They're going to do another job, and then Boomer's talking to the cops about something. So, yeah, let's get into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So fun. And thanks, everybody, for jumping into the chat. Just hi to Steven and Matthew. Hi, Steven. If you guys have predictions, definitely throw those in the chat, and we will read them in a moment. So, yeah,
thank you so much, guys. And also, thing to know, do like and rate and comment us on iTunes as well on YouTube. The chat's amazing, but unfortunately, it does go away at the end of this episode. And we want people to, you know, watch on demand and see what you guys have to say. So stay in the live chat and then come back and give us some thumbs up and a comment.
Yes, do that. AfterBuzzTV.com. Yeah. Two thumbs up. Like us. Okay. What do you have any predictions coming up for the next episode, episode four?
I do. Okay. I don't know if this is going to happen in episode four. I think it's kind of going to slowly go throughout the season. But yes. I'm seeing some sexual tension between Rio and Beth. And I think this is perfect because she technically was like a bad boy. Like her husband did bad things, mm-hmm. but like in a lame way. He's like a bad boy, like definitely not doing legal great things. But I don't know. It seems very thrilling to me. I feel like she needs to do something bad for once. Yes, I am understanding that I'm saying this after she's done a lot of armed robberies. I'm more talking about on the personal sense and things. You know what I mean? Yeah. Your husband did something crappy. Rio looks like a really good lay for her right now, so I'm all about it.
He is foxy, too. I mean, mm-hmm. he looks good. Right, so, yeah. Okay, I like that. What do you think about any of the other girls, the trio?
So, we wouldn't really talk about this much, but I think we're going to be seeing more about Annie and her ex, you know, battling out custody. In the previous episode, she said that she is going to give him custody, and so we'll see how that develops. I'm hoping to see, which I always hope to see in real life, and I want it to be portrayed on TV as well, is just I want them getting along. It's all about the kid. It's all about, you know, put all your bullshit aside and be there for your kid. As much as you guys hate each other, it doesn't matter. You got to be good parents.
Yeah, and she's gone back and forth with that. Mm-hmm. One episode, she's like, "Yeah, I'll give you custody." The next, she's like, "I'm fighting it." So I feel like we don't really know
exactly. Until I feel like it must be tough because she, for so long, she had to do it alone. So now she's like, "Wait, I had to do such hard stuff by myself, and now you're coming in when it's a little bit easier." She's more grown. She's not a baby. So I get that. That's tough, but it's all about the kid. Another kid I hope that we're going to see get better is, I'm so sorry, what's her name, Deborah?
Ruby. Ruby's kid.
Ruby's kid. Yeah. Just because she's so feisty, you know? She is. Like, she plays soccer with her friends. She gives great speeches about empowerment at her school.
Yeah. The very first episode, the pilot with that speech, women's empowerment. I mean, and burning the textbook. I mean, that was gave me chills, you know?
So she has a lot to live for, and I'm really hoping that we're going to see more about that character. So cool. What do you think?
Okay, so real quick, Matthew says that he's predicting a close call with the cops, and I think we're going to see that because of Boomer. He's going to go to the cops, and something's going to happen because I think Boomer's going to want to be Secret Service, and he's not going to be that because he's trying to get way into his over his head.
He's too stupid to be Secret Service.
Like a bag of rocks. Okay, so what I was teasing earlier that I wanted to say about Beth is that she took and sold her wedding ring.
Right.
So I don't think that they're going to get together at all for the rest of the season. I think you're right. I think she's going to be with Rio and kind of like sneak in that way.
And be single for a while. I want her to hook up with Rio. I'm not trying. Don't get involved in that.
Don't be with Rio forever. But he's good looking.
A little Bonnie and Clyde just for a hot minute and then we're done.
Yeah, I like that. And then Annie, I think we're going to see the custody battle. I don't know. I don't think that she's going to win a custody battle if she goes to it. So my prediction is that she might lose Sadie for a minute, and then I hope that she gets her back. I think that's going to be a really tough storyline. And I really like Ruby and her family. They are so sweet. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see where that goes. So I don't have a prediction for them, but I'm excited about that. Yeah. So yeah. All right. So what was your overall thoughts really quickly about about this going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I know we have to wrap, but I think I'm just really excited. Again, like ups and downs when I first started this, but now I'm all in. I'm all in for Good Girls. I'm so happy you guys are tuning in to watch us. Again, please like, subscribe, comment, because we want to hear from you. And
yeah,
we have a good season coming along. And it's all about the fans, man. It's all about the fans.
Yes, it's exciting. And definitely leave your comment about your prediction, what's going to happen next week. And we will be right back here. We have a full panel back next week. We have
two other ladies
coming to join us. Mm-hmm. So we will have a full panel of Good Girls coming back to you. And that is our show. So, Juliet, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you?
That you guys can find me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet, which is hello in French, and then my name, Juliet.
Amazing. And I'm Kelsey Hightower, and you can find me online at Kels Hightower. And we will see you next week for Good Girls.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.